Blog Talk Radio.
As the tears are falling from my face, with all my fears I long for your embrace. How am I gonna carry on and be the one you leave?
You know, that is a beautiful song, and you are listening in loud and clear to Continue Mission on the Brain Injury Radio Network. And as you all probably know, we've had a few technical difficulties, but you know, it's coming in loud and clear, or licking chicken, as we would say, in the old Army days. And what's the song you listened to? What's called Lie Awake, and it's from Arrows and Sound. Isn't it a pretty song? Really nice. It kind of sets a mood of calmness and decency and niceness. It just really sets a good tone for us to just go on and just slap the taste out of the liberal media's mouth tonight, baby, because that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to tell you, Continue Mission is about continuing the mission, folks. You know, what is the mission? You know, what is the mission? The mission is to advance American causes and justice and freedom and the U.S. Constitution and having respect and decency, protecting our borders, ending the scourge of fentanyl deaths that kills more people across the U.S. than the last 30 years, 40 years of warfare. Actually, let's take it on back to about the last 55 years of warfare. More people have died because of fentanyl overdose and drugs, mainly manufactured, some form in China, brought across our borders in different places. Obviously, there is a demand here for it. But it is coming in like crazy right now. And no wonder, because when you look at the border and you see the situation at the border, what do you see? You see total chaos. You see people just walking across, armies of people. We have been invaded. Now, I want you to think really, really good. Go back in your memory bank and remember how many people orchestrated the attacks on 9/11 for walking across the border every 5 minutes. So understand, folks, we're not being invaded. We have been invaded. And now you've got people roaming the streets in all these different cities because they're being shipped from Texas to New York to California to all of these other places, the sanctuary cities, you know, quote unquote, you know, the cities where, you know, radical liberals are now even saying, you know what? This is probably not a good idea because we are flooded. And so really, honestly, so all of the people that are out there that will argue with me and say, well, you know, these people are trying to escape oppression, maybe, but I don't think so. I don't think that's the majority of the people coming across these borders. They're not escaping oppression. They're coming here because it's an easier life, because they hear, hey, man, it is like a haven here. You go there, it's not, and they talk about the government giving you free cell phones and all this other stuff. The government provides the grant money to the NGOs, the non-government organizations, who then provide them with, you know, $5,000 Visa cards and, you know, cell phones and identification they're giving them now, folks. And people were like, well, you know, they still can't vote. That's baloney. We've already proven that there are some states and many races, especially local races, that they can vote. And we wonder how we get somebody like Ilhan Omar. Now, I know people think I'm a racist, a bigot, xenophobe, what else? Islamophobe, all of this. I don't know about all that. But I know that every one of them clowns that attacked our country on 9/11 wasn't a Catholic, a Christian, or a Jew. So that pretty much narrows the shit down, okay? And I think that we have to come to the realization that we have to be honest. The people that attacked us on 9/11 and mainly the countries that are seeking to overthrow our way of life want to replace our way of life with some form of what? Marxism, socialism, or an Islamic state. Now, I love it how some of these women, these radical-ass women that are out there, and the gays and the lesbians and the transes that are like, go Palestine, go Hamas. They will throw you off the building. Do you understand what they're going to do to you women if they do take control? Do you really understand Islamic culture? I hope you like wearing a burqa. I hope you like that. And I hope you like your husband having three or four wives and being able to beat the holy crap out of you anytime that he wants to, because that's what they do. And if they get tired of you, they just take you out. Well, she was not a good wife. And they just take you out and they stone you to death or they shoot you, folks. It's not a good way to be. So what I do see, though, is I see the Iranian opposition, which is a group of Iranian women who have, you know, taken their burqas off and they, you know, and they protest. And, you know, I like those freedom fighters. I like those freedom fighters. You know, they're trying to overthrow the Iranian government. And I say more power to them. I mean, we should really help them do that. And the same thing with these governments that are running these people out of their countries. Instead of, you know, giving them a $5,000 gift card and a cell phone, how about we give them a rifle and some ammunition and send their asses back across the border and tell them to go fight for your freedom like we had to? How about that? That's a pretty good thing to do. And I'll tell you why. Because it would be able to establish some freedom blocks so that we do have, you know, the advancement of democracy, if you want to call it. We're not a democracy in America, folks. We are a republic. We're a republic that appoints representatives to speak for us in Congress and in Senate. I love how people say, "Oh, we're a democracy." We're not a democracy. You know, we're not a democracy. And realistically, to say that is just not true. So, yes, we elect representatives. So let's go into some of the news stories of the day here. I'm going to pull it up on, let's see. Okay. So this is a story about a moose attack. And moose are generally prefer to avoid close encounters with women. However, one woman was walking in Anchorage, Canada. Was lucky to escape alive after a seemingly unprovoked attack from a moose that followed her along a snowy path and knocked her down without warning. There is a video of the incident, folks, which happened in February last year. Why are we just hearing about that now? News really travels slow in Canada, I guess. But anyways, the account usually highlights the examples of bad behavior, but sometimes people just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So here's what happened. This woman's walking along a snowy path, and this moose just comes running through and just bowls her over. Very lucky to survive. Mooses are very big animals. They are very heavy. She didn't get trampled. She didn't get killed. She really didn't get hurt that bad either, but wow. She should be thanking God for that. So that was interesting. So let's go to sports highlights. U.S. Olympian and legendary swim coach dies while surfing in Santa Cruz. A member of the Santa Cruz surf community has tragically passed away. Richard Thornton, former U.S. Olympian and Bay Area swim coach, died yesterday while surfing at the Hook in Santa Cruz near Pleasure Point. He was 65 years old. Pray for their family, and what a loss. What a loss whenever something like that happens. But, you know, honestly, he was doing what he loved to do. Some of the other news, obviously, we saw the tragedy that unfolded in Iowa when another trans person went into a school with a pump shotgun and killed a sixth grader. What a shame, right? And you don't hear a lot about that. You know, we're hearing a lot about, I can't find anything about, you know, the big list that came out, the Epstein list that came out. I'm looking for it. I can't find it right now, so I'm sure that the Democrats want to bury that because that's what they do. New York AG calls for $370 million fine against Trump and a lifetime ban from real estate industry in the state. You know, this woman, Letitia James, she really has spent an enormous amount of time attacking Donald Trump, trying to bleed him out financially. And you know, when I see things like this, whether you agree with Trump or whether you know, maybe you don't like what he said and some of the things that he said may have hurt somebody's feelings or whatever, but really, is this what we're to expect if anyone steps up and decides to run for office to try to do the right thing? They can fully expect to be attacked, doxed. The whole time that you're in office, you've got to just openly take every brutal attack, unless you're like a guy here in West Virginia, Patrick Morrissey, all he does is just block people, his own constituents. I thought that was illegal to do that, but obviously, he's in the position, got enough money that they'll just block you and ban you. A lot of people want to ask him questions. Unless you get on there and totally hit your knees and kiss the crack of his rear end, then you're probably not going to be his friend very long, because his feelings get hurt. And I've noticed that usually that is a liberal Democrat trait. But I never thought that a so-called tough, I'm going to fight for you conservative would be so yellow. I don't know. It just... So anyways, B-1 bomber crashes in Ellsworth and the crew ejects safely. Thank you, God, for that. China has a new full-scale target of America's Ford Super Center. Isn't that interesting? So I'm looking at this, Ford Super Carrier. So China has built this huge full-size bombing target range of the USS Ford, which is a super carrier. Oh, well, you know, I guess to each his own. I mean, we can make targets. We make targets with all kinds of Russian and Chinese and all that stuff. It's just, you know, it's just the reality of it. We shouldn't be surprised by that. Let's see here. U.S. Marshals searching for a fugitive. Dry wells in New Mexico to cost millions. We talked a little bit about that before. Rich and I were talking about some of the oil reserves. You know, I mean, some of the oil in the Permian Basin where they've had a reduction of 30%. Which is interesting, to say the least. And Iraq wants the U.S. military out of Iraq. Okay. We gave them a government. They're stabilized now. You know, say what you want about Iraq. But they have a government, a functional government now, folks. And it works. So we're good to go on that. I think I lost Rich. Rich, where did you go, man? I hope we're not starting to have problems with this thing again. Ah, there he is. There's my buddy right there. My buddy Richard Kilblaine. How's it going? We got you on now, Rich. I lost you there for a minute,
well,
man.
That's probably on my end because, you know, where I'm sitting in my house, I sometimes get cut off. I get bad reception, so that may have been me, not the radio program tonight.
Sure, yeah,
but
good.
I heard everything up to the last couple minutes. Okay.
Okay.
Any questions of me?
No. Well, you know, historically speaking, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just the mood or the air, but I really feel like that a lot of Americans are suffering right now. Now, obviously, I wasn't around during the Great Depression. You know, thank God for that. But, man, we had a very lean Christmas this year. And you know, I make a significant amount of money, Rich. And, you know, I'm not bragging or anything, but I usually can do a lot better. I don't know what's happened, but it just seemed like everything's costing
money. It was inflation. We had serious, serious inflation. And the pay raises have, unless you work for the government or work for the government like me,
yeah,
the government, when they have the annual wage increase, it usually matches inflation. But what I've been hearing is on the civilian side, the commercial side, it's not. It's falling below inflation, okay? And I'm just going to tell you, it's like 20 years ago when I moved to this area, I go to lunch, and a $12 lunch was an expense. I thought was, you know, decent. That's what we'd usually pay for a lunch. But, I mean, and it gradually went up, 15, 14, 15, 16. But COVID hit, and then we came out of COVID, and then Bidenomics. An average meal, you go into a restaurant, it's over $20 per person.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, we drove to Virginia Beach yesterday, and just for two people, it was $61 for the meal. Okay, it wasn't a really expensive restaurant. I mean, so we look at that. It's like, I think everybody can look around and go, we can see, we can feel. Bidenomics, okay? Inflation. Inflation is hidden. Now, the thing is, you know, we're the stock market is recovering. I mean, there's really good signs. This is for Biden. There's some really good signs coming up. The stock market is rallying. It's going back up, okay? Inflation is going down. Yeah, but it's like you broke it. You broke it. I mean, okay, gas used to be below $2 a gallon.
Yeah,
it went up over $4 a gallon, and now it's going down below $3 a gallon, and you're calling that a victory. Like, no, it's still expensive. It's more expensive than when you took office, okay?
Yeah,
and everything else is – yeah. Now, one thing about inflation is, it relatively speaking, it reduces your mortgage because – yeah, so I mean, in my case, being retired, I took a pay cut. All right,
yeah.
Look, I don't know what they put out. This is what led to this housing market crash, you know, 2008 then. And when I first bought a house in the 80s, we were told that your mortgage payment should not be more than one third of your disposable income, your take-home income. And friends of mine are buying houses in the new millennium. We're being told, no, you, it can be half your income. I'm like, no, no, you can't do anything. I mean, and so, now thanks to inflation, I've been retired for, 4 years, and my mortgage payments are now getting, because of the pay raises, being a government employee, my mortgage is now almost one third of my income, take home income. So I'm doing okay, but I mean, everything else is expensive, you know, you know, I don't drive around that much. There's a lot of things I don't do. But for everybody else, you're hurting. You're hurting. Seriously, you're hurting. There.
Yeah.
You know, because
everything
is just more expensive.
Well, it is. And, you know, mortgage, you know, I'm really looking forward to paying my house off. And we're within We are in within like 5, 7, 6 years of doing that. And we may be able to do it earlier than that. But I'm telling you, I hate paying a mortgage. I hate constantly paying taxes on something that I had to pay taxes on when I first bought it. And I'll forever, you'll never own anything because you always got to pay taxes. You know, I've got property. I've got 1, 2, 3 pieces of property that I own outright, but I have to pay taxes on it every year. Or if you don't, they'll put it up on the auction block and sell it for unpaid taxes, you know. So do you really own anything? You don't even own your car. You know, it's just the reality. You get it paid off and still pay taxes on it, even when it's paid off. And I don't know. I just, there's something about that that just, let's talk about the history of taxes, Rich. I've heard a lot of stories about taxes. When did taxes really start? I know that the Revolutionary War began because of taxes, but when did America become what we fought to overthrow?
No. We always tax. Here's the thing. Taxes are for the public good. That's the thing we've got to remember. Taxes started out for the public good, like roads, okay, or public buildings. For example, the more you want government buildings, you want a jail, you want a when we get to the
police force,
not that. I was going to say, hell, I don't even know what we had. We had constables. I don't think we really had a police. I got to do some research on that. During colonial times, I don't think, maybe in the big cities, but all the towns, I don't think they had sheriffs. That's what it was.
Yeah, they had sheriffs, yeah.
That's right. You elected sheriff, okay? The thing was that because I live in the historic triangle of the peninsula, Jamestown, Williamsburg, and Yorktown, we've got all these original buildings. Most of the first courthouses exist. So the first building, okay, so you have taxes and tithes. What's
sure.
the difference? Taxes and tithes, what's the difference?
Well,
taxes build courthouses and tithes build churches.
Yeah, yeah. Tithing is, it's 10% of
it's
your income.
It's a tax. It's a tax.
Well, it's what we owe God and the advancing of Christianity. And,
yeah, that's right.
And that's why we pay it. Yeah.
Render unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God. Okay, so tithing is a church tax. And it builds churches, and it does missionary work, okay?
Yeah, for the sake of
so your taxes,
moving forward, yeah.
The first thing you want to build is a courthouse, okay? Then maybe a jail and a government building, okay? And then you expand from there. A hospital, if it's a large population, a hospital. But your taxes were originally used to build things for the public good and to pay wages for people who perform public services, like judges,
sure.
okay, or governors or mayors. I think most mayors serve pay, okay? So that's really what our – and then, yes, if you had to have – elect a sheriff, you had to pay him. So that's what our and then schools. We want education.
Mm-hmm.
So we pay taxes for schools. Okay. And now what was taxed? I don't know when property, I mean, land was always taxed and things like that. I don't know what else. I think everything was based upon what you owned, and land was what you owned. Okay, the idea that we're taxing your personal possessions, you want to know a country that taxes everything. It taxes your television, taxes everything, is Germany. because Germans, they get rid of. See, with us, we get extra. We upgrade our TVs all the time. No, I mean, I remember they're throwing out good furniture and stuff like that because why? Because we're paying taxes on. They pay taxes. I think 60% of their income was in taxes. Yes. Americans working in Germany did really well because they didn't have to pay the German taxes. They paid American taxes, so they got to keep more of their income. But the Germans, it was very much a socialist country. If you have no ambition other than taking vacations, you got paid vacations. Your job, that's part of the business, is that job has that you gives you so many days vacation, you know, weeks vacation a year. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
They actually pay you. It's not I'm being paid during. No, they have to give you extra money so you can go have a vacation.
Yeah,
that's how Germany is. Okay,
so let's. I just got some interesting information from from our good friend Kim. 1861, financial requirement of the Civil War prompted the first American income tax in 1861. At first, Congress placed a flat 3% tax on all income over $800 and later modified this principle to include a graduated tax. Interesting. Thank you, Kim. So it was used. It's used to fund a war. It was used to, support the effort. But then, I heard the same thing about World War One, and then at some point, we should have. See, I'm a believer in taxes for service. I'm not a believer in taxes for your property or taxes on your income. I think if I go and I buy, a dollar's worth of milk, I pay $1.10. That's your tax, whatever, whatever it is, 6%, 10%, 5%, whatever. And I think that the country could sustain on that. And I think that there would be less pushback than, it's like, and look, and it's a pain in the butt. Cause if you have more than one or two or three pieces of property, you don't always get notes to say, hey, your taxes are due. I mean, literally, Heather and I were looking, it's like, we got to notice that, your property's going to be put up in the paper for unpaid taxes. It's like, we didn't know, you just kind of lose track of time, but you go down and you pay it and it's usually, $300 or $400 or something like that. It's not a ton of money, but what's your thoughts on taxing of services? But no taxing of food, no taxing of personal property, and no taxing of income. Could America survive on that?
I think you're asking the wrong question.
Okay.
The problem is the more money we want to give away and spend, the more we have to tax people who make money. That's the reality of it, okay?
Sure.
So if you look at the two parties, the Democratic Party, the Socialist Party, wants everybody dependent upon
Marxist.
The government, wants to spend money. They think they can solve problems by throwing money at it, okay?
Yeah, I believe
and
that.
The Republican Party is the conservative party and says no. It's like, okay, it's like...
It's about 50-50 now.
Charity,
I mean,
charity.
We have a lot of them that are not conservative like that. But, yeah, the party's really
but see,
split.
Conservatives say, okay, like, for example, most of the Latins I know that come into this country, when they're poor and they're struggling, they want all these benefits and things like that. And they know, look, I'm telling you, I lived in California. The average white person didn't know all the benefits that were available to them, but the Latins did. I was working for the army, and my wife was like, finding out from her friends, like, all the stuff the state would do for her, okay, for free. And I'm like, yeah, they all know it. They got the system right. All right. But once a hardworking people, they come in here and they're going to work 2-3 jobs at a time to prosper. And I will tell you right now, they want to keep their money. They don't want to pay a lot of tax.
No, hey, look, I'm telling you, the ones that I know, and you know, obviously, as you know, we have some family connections there as well. But so I have a lot of friends. They came in and they went through a process to come here, and they served in the military and retired from the military. They are very, very angry about this immigration issue. They're very angry.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. But let me say this about your wife. Was that a picture of you and your wife on New Year's Day that I saw on social media?
I guess she posted it. I don't remember.
I thought that was your daughter. She looks so much younger than you.
Right? Oh, you want to know why? Okay, you want to know why?
She does.
Because she does.
Yeah.
You know, they do that. You can sit there and you got the app that will fix your face.
Now,
so she fixes hers to make her look younger and not mine.
Oh, Rich.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going, why am I the old looking guy? Because come on, let me tell you, you'll see us in person. It's a different picture, okay?
No, I haven't seen you all in a bit, but I mean, But your wife looks, she's younger than you, and she's about 10 years younger than you.
That's what she's like, everybody, to believe.
So
all right,
let's just
all right,
say
let me
this.
Just say, on the issue of age, the issue of age, she has lied about her age so long, I don't even know how old she is, okay? I will tell you this. If you do the math, you look at the age of our children, do the math, she was in puberty when I impregnated her, okay?
Well, I had to throw that out there because I was thinking about that. I was like, and, you know, Heather and I were looking at Charles' picture and stuff, and it's like, oh, you know, Araceli just looks so good. Look, doesn't she look so good, so good? And she's so nice. She's so nice. And she is. Your wife is always
been like.
And
you don't live with her. You don't live with her, okay?
So, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get us off on a tangent.
Back to taxes, because I'm going to get my ass whipped. I'm going to get, now if he's listening, I'm getting my ass whipped, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you a whole lot for setting me up. Okay, back to taxes.
Yes, okay.
So it really comes down to, all right, because you got to raise money somehow. How do you raise money? I mean, during World War II, we sold war bonds. We sold war bonds. That was it. We didn't increase taxes. We sold war bonds. We allowed people to voluntarily give their money to the government with the idea that they'll get it back. And guess what?
Yeah.
That led to the rise of the middle class, because after the war, all of a sudden, that was savings. That encouraged people to put money in savings. So when the war's over, all of a sudden they're like, hey, now – We're getting interest on this. They leave it in there. They cash it in. And now you can buy a home. Oh, especially if you're a GI, you got the GI Bill. You don't have to. You can have a minimum deposit so the war bonds really helped the middle class boom. After
World savings War II. Bonds are supposed to do a similar thing. I used to buy savings bonds for all my kids. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, they matured and the kids cashed them in after they got, 20 years old. And every month, I'd get savings bonds every month. Because I'm investing
in
America, you know. Yeah. And they did, and they got the face value.
Oh, hey, I just got a text from Araceli. Okay, so I'm probably not in trouble because she said to say thank you. Okay.
Hey, listen. She is a gem in this family. We love your wife. I'm just telling you right now. The kids love her. Everybody loves her, man.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Yeah. And you should be
okay,
thankful
back to
that
taxes.
You got such
back
a good
to
woman.
Taxes. Saving bond and taxes. Okay. Back
all
to
right,
saving
go ahead.
Bond and taxes. All right. So, see, the thing is, what services,
mm-hmm.
what services do we want to pay for? When I
yeah.
talked about colonial times, we're talking about the minimum, what we
right.
expect. And so as we've become prosperous, we start, okay, so what's the problem in New York City right now with immigration and Chicago with immigration?
Nah, yeah, it's just flooded.
Why
yeah.
are they financially becoming strapped because of immigration?
Mm-hmm.
What do we
yeah,
owe
well,
immigrants? What do we owe? Or, I'm just going to be callous here. What do we owe people who want to come to this country illegally? Now, the thing
nothing.
Is,
jail.
Wait, but I want to state this up front.
Okay.
Because they want to come here and prosper. That's what they want to do. Yeah, they're economic
mm-hmm.
refugees, yes. But they want to come here and prosper. They want to come here and bust their ass for an opportunity, because
mm-hmm.
they know this is a country of opportunity. The problem is you have certain cities or states that have become, when I say liberal, is socialist. In other words, like New York City said, any home, they have to provide these services for any immigrant, illegal person, homeless person. All right, that's assuming you're going to have a moderate number of homeless and illegals coming into your country. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we need immigration. We need immigration. Okay.
Sure.
The question is, how much immigration do we need? And you just don't open the damn door and let everybody
yeah.
come in. You've got to do a study and say economy absorbed during a given period of time.
Yeah, we're
what
maxed
can
out right
the
now.
City of New York City
mm-hmm.
afford to support? What are the numbers they can afford to support?
Mm-hmm.
We need to do this study. But the fact is, New York City has, you know, because it's prosperous, and
mm-hmm.
in prosperity, you have, that's where your charity comes in. The problem
mm-hmm.
is, should charity come from the heart, or should be forced upon us? Who should we be forced to help?
Anybody that
the Bible
supports
says,
that open
who
border.
Who does the Bible say we need to help? Who does the Bible say?
The widows and orphans.
The widows or orphans. And I will tell you, I will add the mentally handicapped. Okay? I will, the
yeah,
handicapped,
yeah.
whether mental
I agree.
Or physical.
Yeah.
Okay?
But, I agree
but
with
even
that.
In the Bible, it's not, it's, but it's, you always have like the sick, the lame, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But not the lazy. The lazy.
Oh, yeah.
All
no,
right?
The Bible says a man that doesn't work shouldn't eat.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, but the thing is,
equally applies to women.
We have to help the widows and orphans, but it's
mm-hmm.
out of our own personal charity, which is love. Charity means
mm-hmm.
love, that we help everybody else. Now, so I believe that the government should have measures to be able to help those who can't help themselves, or help those who have fallen on hard times to get back on their feet so they can help themselves. But it shouldn't be a crutch, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, all right, I will tell you, the vast majority of those illegal immigrants coming into New York City, they just need a helping hand to get them started. They need, and then they need that work permit so they can get a job. They will do any job. I'm telling you, the work ethic among the immigrants is very high, okay? They will do any job possible to get started and then work their way up, okay? So, but the thing is, you open the floodgate, you overwhelm the system.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely overwhelmed, and that's why I'm just sitting here, you know, thinking, because, you know, the American citizens that our citizens here. You know, all citizens, you know, have a, you know, they have protected status. But if you are a illegal immigrant, I don't know that you qualify, in my opinion, for protected status. And, you know, if someone has charity on their heart and want to help you. Well, protected status or benefits. I should have said benefits. Like if you're an illegal immigrant, you really shouldn't get access to welfare. You really shouldn't get access to any kind of benefit.
They get access to welfare. I think these are separate programs that are set aside for them. Okay.
Right. But they're funded. The NGOs do it, but the NGOs are funded through grants from the government. So ultimately, we're paying for it either way. You know. So the we, as in the taxpayers.
Okay.
The citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it's funny, and this is where I get argumentative with the so-called conservative crowd. And you know, Rich, we've all dabbled. We've been in this game, and I had a very good friend of mine, you know, that I worked with for years, you know what I mean, you know, trying to make a change here in West Virginia, and that change has happened. But ultimately, a lot of the so-called conservatives, they're really not conservative at all. They're really just the same weasels, only wearing a different coat.
Wait. Define that. Explain that.
Let me explain that. So what I say to this is that, you know, we've got a Republican-controlled House. We got a split in the Senate. Now in West Virginia, you know, we're at a supermajority Republican. But life has not got better here. Taxes have not went down. I mean, the same old nonsense still happens. And, you know, I just read an article, you know, where the state was all excited because they're going to be able to compete for one of these Joe Biden green energy, you know, $1 million grants. You know, actually, it's a share of $5 billion. So they will probably get West Virginia. They have a chance of getting about you know, 8 to 10 million, and they're excited about this government money, this grant. And I'm thinking, it's taxpayer money, man. It's not just free money printed out for you. So West Virginia gets it. You see what I'm saying about that, though? And they are
you can use
the same
money.
People.
You can use taxpayer money to stimulate the economy. I will tell you one thing that taxpayer money should go into is research and development. We should be on the cutting edge of research and development. And we are. We have been. China steals our intellectual developments, okay? They are the ones benefit from it, but we're the ones that develop it, okay? Example was the race to the moon. What the hell did landing the lunar module or whatever on the moon benefit anybody in America? You look at the cost of that.
Sure.
Okay, so we had the prestige of knowing that we got to the moon. We're the only ones that got there, okay? How did all that money benefit our nation?
So here's what I will say about that, especially given the critical and harsh time of that time period. The one thing historically that has shown is that it united the country behind a greater cause. So for a short period of time, you know, they forgot about, or they weren't, you know, arguing about the Vietnam War or about whatever they were arguing about. And then there was a level of accomplishment because by doing that, we showed the Soviet Union, which was our big enemy at the time. The Soviet Union understood that if we could put a man on the moon, then we probably don't have a problem being able to put a nuclear warhead in your living room. You know what I mean? So I think that there was a little bit of an intimidation factor there as well because of
that
technology.
That could be one thing. Mm-hmm. But here, there were a lot of economic benefits from it. Mm. Okay? We advanced computers during that time frame.
Yes, absolutely.
The amount of calculations that were needed to be able to put a man on a specific spot on the moon, okay?
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, so it was computer technology advanced rapidly during this time frame. We got Tang.
Yeah, we got Tang. Yeah, we got frozen ice or freeze-dried ice cream out of it, too. Are you there, Rich? I think I'll lose you again. Sometimes, Rich, he'll move and you can hear him. So what Rich is saying is we got Tang.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. There
right,
you go.
Tang,
I got you.
Right.
Yeah,
now,
Tang.
But here's something else. The race to the moon inspired a lot of young people to go into science and technology and engineering.
Yeah, I agree.
It was cool. It was cool to be a rocket scientist, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it coined the phrase, because I worked in construction, it coined the phrase, this is not rocket science. This is not rocket, because what you meant is it's not that precise, okay? It's not rocket science. But that was a product of the race to the moon, okay? It was cool to be, everybody wanted to be smart. You wanted to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
It changed our culture.
I know it had definitely advanced the love for advanced mathematics.
Yeah,
that's when you saw
absolutely.
Some of your largest growth.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, now the memes are, hey, I went through another day without using algebra.
Yeah, well, I can appreciate that, but you know, it's interesting. You talk about the advancements, and I'd like to retouch on that a little bit.
I want to throw something else out. No, but
okay.
That's the race to the moon. That was a peacetime endeavor.
Yeah, it was.
You know, probably the greatest spike in technology and our economy was World War II.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it brought
us
down the depression.
War, the advancement, not just, I mean, we figured out how to build, nuclear bombs, okay?
Yeah.
Harness the energy of the nuclear. Of the
Oppenheimer,
okay?
Was a smart guy, man.
Yeah, but hey, we created M&Ms. There was many things that came out of war production. It stimulates. See, when you're throwing money, yes, there's a lot of waste, but when you're throwing a lot of money at research and development, there are failures, but there are incredible successes. It led to this idea because of the middle class boom after World War II, that ours was a wartime economy. But the race to the moon showed that it didn't have to be a war to stimulate our economy and research and development, but it could be something else.
You know, being able to reduce the size of computers must have been a daunting task at that time, and I think that obviously the microchip brought them down to, even much smaller, but to be able to have done what they did and, land on the moon, that's an incredible thing to be able to do now. Back then it was just super incredible, and I'm sure an exciting time for America. And if you remember, you're right, it spurred a big, desire to get involved in space. And I can remember, even into the 70s, and then, of course, with the invention of the space shuttle and all of that technology, we were constantly involved in space, from 1968, 1969, all the way up into the 80s. And now you see private travel into space.
Yeah. No, I was about to say that. You were leading to that. Mm-hmm. Is Elon Musk with SpaceX.
Elon Musk.
I mean, yeah. All of a sudden, you know, this race to the space is exciting again, because I think what people are looking at is, I may be able to become an astronaut. Okay.
Yeah. Colonize Mars, man. That's the thing. They want to colonize Mars.
Yeah.
They want to colonize the moon. You know, I'm not sure I'd want to live there. But maybe somebody else.
I saw this one meme, and it's this guy in an astronaut suit, and he's sitting out there, and he goes, yeah, no one ever told me, you know, in the race to call it, you know, SpaceX. No, what was it? Space Force.
Space Force.
No one told me that Mars looks like Fort Irwin.
It does.
Fort Irwin. That's almost as bad as Fort Bliss. Okay.
The idea of being big.
I'm on Mars. Like, it's like Fort Irwin, 29 palms. Okay, with nothing green. Okay.
Yeah.
There,
you know, it is really cool. But I want to kind of bring us back to the income tax discussion. And then, you know, we have some other things that obviously we'd like to talk about. But the income tax. Why? I mean, honestly, I can't see why we would not want to eliminate income tax. Number one, you would eliminate.
My God. No, wait, James. No, you get back to your. All right. Let's just cite all the taxes we pay. Okay, so you just cited income. So we're paying taxes on how much money we make, right?
Yeah, and then we have to file an income tax
return
every year.
If somebody gives us money, my mother dies, my father dies, and wills me property and stuff, I have to pay a tax on it, okay?
Yeah.
What else do I have to pay taxes on?
You have to pay taxes on your home,
your car. Anything I buy. If I buy something, I pay a tax on it, okay?
Sure.
Okay. What other taxes do I have to pay?
Municipal taxes if you work in a city. Yes.
Wait, what?
Municipal taxes, you know, working in a city.
No, the municipal tax is what? No, tell me what there's federal tax or state tax or municipal taxes.
Municipal tax, yeah.
What are they taxing?
Well, they're usually taxing either your income or they tax you if you own a business.
No, if you're going to say municipal, they're going to tax your property. They're going to tax your property and how much money you spend. Okay?
Yes. Or make.
All right. Yeah. No. The municipal town does not tax what you make. The state and the federal government does.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, here's what
I will tell you.
If you work within the city, in certain cities, there is a tax that's applied to you for working in that city.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that. But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
States and the federal government also tax certain things you buy, like tax.
Yes.
Gas. Why is gas $5 a gallon in California and $3 a gallon everywhere else? Because the state adds extra taxes to it.
Sure.
Sin tax. Okay.
Yeah. Sin tax.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the benefits, James, of being retired military or disabled veteran is we can shop in the PX in the commissary. Now, the only benefit you get is you're not paying estate tax when you shop there, but the prices aren't that much better. But guess what? The taxes on booze, the state taxes on booze is higher. So if you drink, you want to go.
Yeah.
It used to be the Class 6 store, right? But no, it's now the Shopette, the PX Express, the Shopette. Yeah, you know, so you sat there and going, you can save a lot of money buying your booze on the military base because the difference is in the taxes.
So
they
with
tax
all of these taxes.
About everything you buy.
Oh, look, there's a death
earn,
tax. You know,
is
I mean,
tax. Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a death tax. So income tax to me is overburdensome and unnecessary and should be eliminated.
Wait. So if you eliminated that, how do you pay for everything else? James, let me tell you. When we talk about the national debt, why do we have like a $3 trillion national debt? Why do we have this $1 trillion national debt?
Yeah. Well, because
we've
spent money that we didn't have. That's why.
That's right.
And we've borrowed money.
We are spending more money than we are drawing in taxes. And you're trying to tell me we got to eliminate taxes?
Yes.
What?
Well, we're and
just
here's
going
the
to become
well,
a debtor nation.
No, I don't think so. I think that the problem is we need to all learn to live within our means. And that's no different with the American government. And right now, I think we have a bloated government bureaucracy, way too many employees. And I'm sorry, but they need to go get another job or start a business
James. Yeah. Now you're talking. See, the thing is, talking about eliminating tax. No, you've got to eliminate what we spend the tax
on
before you can. It's like if you want to fix health care, reduce the cost of health care before you try to throw money at it.
Mm-hmm.
Reduce the cost first, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's all right. So now what you're looking at the right way is we are spending too much money. We're spending more than we are taking in, and what we take in comes through taxes, okay? So how do we fix that? Well, one, let's reduce what we spend it on. There's only one party that talks about reducing spending. The other party is we can solve everything by throwing money at it. And guess what? It's resulted in a drop in our credit rating.
Oh my goodness, we're devastated with that. So here's where you can cut, okay? Number one, if you eliminated the income tax, you'd be able to reduce the size IRS by probably 30-40%, because there's a vast number of them that are totally dedicated to the income tax and tax returns. You know what I mean? It's like, damn, man. Get rid of all of those people. I'm sorry. You're going to have to get a real job. You're going to have to go out and do something. Because if we did that, Rich, because you and I have talked about this, it's hard to find people to do the jobs like work in construction, work in agriculture, work in fast food service, work in this, work all of these things that we see, a shortage. When somebody runs out of benefits, and I think there needs to be a cutoff point on welfare, everything else, except for the widows and the orphans. Now, the churches should step in and do that, but I don't believe in injuring widows and orphans and handicapped people and really single mothers. But I think go ahead.
Most of our problems we're having with this crime is mentally handicapped homeless people.
Right. Yeah.
I work with the mentally handicapped. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things you brought up in your monologue was how we talk about conservatives that are not conservative. And I wanted to call you out on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, see, conservative in some issues and liberal in another. And you're still honest with yourself, okay? When it comes to health care, I'm a liberal. I don't think anybody should go in debt because of health care.
No, I don't either.
But there has to be the first solution is fix the cost of health care before you start throwing money at it. One,
correct.
And the thing is, there's Medicaid. There's so much free health care out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're poor, you got health care. The problem is lower middle class. The low middle class, and I was there, low middle class people who you have to decide, like, so my company offers me this health care package, but if I it's a matching cost. So they're going, but I don't know if I can pay my bills after I do that. I mean, my dad told me that if he hadn't joined, he was in the National Guard, got out, and then went back in after I enlisted. He said, if he had not gone back into the National Guard and retired from it, he would be dead because he could not afford the medication. Okay? I mean, you're talking about old people who have to choose. And my mother got that way. She was healthy as a horse until she wasn't healthy as a horse anymore. So when they came out with that Medicare package for paying for your, you know, health. No, she didn't sign up for it because she was healthy. She didn't take any medication until she got sick. And all of a sudden, I mean, you're talking about people have to decide, do I want to eat or do I need my medication?
That's terrible.
Okay. So when you ask me about health care, I'm liberal on that. When you ask me about taking care of the mentally handicapped, I'm very liberal on that, okay? We need to do that. But I'm conservative on everything else.
Yeah, well, that's
so
interesting.
You can
that's...
be a conservative and a liberal all at the same time and be honest and be true and not be a hypocrite.
Yeah, that's the, you know what, that right there, that is exactly what I'm talking about right there. That, you know, just be honest about it. I mean, and far too many you know what, I would respect a politician so much more if they'd come out and say, look, here's the deal. I'm going to go in here and I'm going to push for an increase in taxes and I'm just going to screw your eyeballs out. And I'd say, well, thank you for telling me the truth, because that person would be the first one that told it. You know, most of these guys, when they die, on their tombstone, it's going to say, here lies the truth, because when they was living, it never came out. And that is what is wrong. And that's what's wrong, man, with the political. You're making me laugh, man. But that's what's wrong with these politicians, man. They're not like us. They have lost, and it don't take them long to get lost. Look, if you remember, we supported some candidates a couple years ago. Well, some of them have got in and they've done a great job, but they've already got lost into that DC world. And it's like, I don't know what happened to them. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, they found new friends. They, you know, they're becoming multimillionaires. I don't know.
No. The thing is, when you get there, look, you promise everything. Anybody, just be aware of this. Anybody who has not held office, when they're running for office, they're not liars. They are promising you what's in their heart. Now, the people who have been in office are making all these promises. They're liars, okay? The reason is because once you get the job, you go in. To be able to do anything, you have to be on a committee. You have to be on the committees that have the influence in the areas that you ran for. Now, so you have the leader of your party there, the Mitch McConnells, okay, the Nancy Pelosi. Go and listen to Tulsi Gabbard. What she
I haven't heard her in a while, but
about being on the she ran for the Democratic Party because she idolized JFK. Well, what did she encounter when she finally got elected to office? She didn't encounter JFK. She encountered Nancy Pelosi. And Nancy Pelosi was a tyrant. You had to vote party line. You could not. That's where we are. It's party line. If you cross the line and you're a Democrat, you're called a dino. If you're a Republican, you cross the line and vote with your heart, your conscience, you're called a rhino. You're ostracized, okay? And the thing is, what Tulsi complained the most about is she said, I ran on these issues. Let me put them before the floor for a vote. You can vote them down, but I want to be able to put this bill before the floor, and Nancy Pelosi would not let her do that, okay? Now, for you get appointed to a committee, see, leader of that party selects who goes on those committees.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
And
yeah.
you have to sell your soul, because here's what they're saying is, you want to be in this committee, you have to raise this much money. Problem is, it's easy to raise that much money. You just got to go out and do all these chicken dinners or whatever, these fundraisers. Okay? That's right, rubber chicken dinners. I think that's what they call them, rubber chicken dinners, man.
Yeah.
That's it. How many of these do you want to do? And they could say, hey, if you want to raise this much money for the party, we'll line up all the events you have to go to. The thing is, you will spend so much time raising money for the party, you have no time to do what you really wanted to do. And you want to know who really is the power behind all these politicians? They don't know this stuff. It's their aides. It's their aides who do all the research.
Oh, yeah. The aides and the, and the lobbyists and stuff. So I'm gonna read something here real quick.
Wait, no, the aides, because they're getting all their information from the lobbyists. Guess who wrote the Affordable Health Care Act? Do you think any of those congressmen wrote the Affordable Health Care Act?
Why was it
5,000 pages long? Do you guys and gals are trying to raise money? You think they have? They didn't, as Nancy Pelosi said, party wrote the goddamn thing. Did they know what was in there? No, we have to pass it so we can read it. No, it was the lobbyists that wrote it. The lobbyists submitted it to the representatives. They then submitted it. The lobbyists wrote it.
Right.
Not the politicians.
Nah.
They didn't even know what when Nancy Pelosi says we have to pass a bill to know what's in it, means none of them read it. None of them wrote it.
So I'm going to give you something else to think about. And so bear with me. We're going to switch direction. So look, there's a lot of wasting of money. There's a lot of programs, and definitely government can be reduced significantly. I believe that. I mean, there's many agencies that have far too many. There's just too many government workers, and there's way too many government workers that are working from home now. You know, it's just unbelievable, and they spend most of their time, you know, dicking around on social media and not working. So it's a waste of time and money. So we agree that.
Wait. Okay, I was a government employee. Okay.
Yeah, but you didn't have an office.
All right. No.
People,
let me tell
you.
All right. So there's a joke, and this guy applies for the job. Guy applies for a job, and in the interview they ask him, and it turns out he has no balls. And the other thing is, they find out he doesn't drink coffee. And so when they said, but everything else is good, and so they hire him. And he said, but you don't have to show up to work till 10 o'clock in the morning. And the guy goes, why? He says, because everybody else just sits around the coffee machine scratching their balls and bullshitting for 2 hours before they do any work. The thing is, all right, yes, there are some people, I will tell you right now that, all right, there's a lot to be gained. I will tell you, most of my job was bullshit. And I say that is, as a historian, was walking around talking to people. Now, I'm bullshit.
Right.
But in that conversation, see, most people don't know how to use a historian, and I have to go around and just meet with people and talk. Hey, what are you working on? Oh, hey, do you ever think maybe I have something to contribute to that, or maybe I need to record that? Yeah,
sure.
I get. But the thing is, unless you're in a factory and sitting there on the assembly line, when we talk about services, probably we have a lot of wasted time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay.
Yeah,
there are some
absolutely.
People. There are some people in the service industry who's probably sitting at home goofing off. Okay, but I will tell you, my daughter works from home. She created her own business. Okay.
Yeah, but she doesn't work for the government.
And the thing is,
Right.
She there are a lot of people who are much more efficient because there's fewer. Oh, and the thing is, she because of the efficiency, it's because she doesn't socialize it and have all these people. Guess what? Instead of going over bullshitting with someone, she can go out for a run.
Yeah, but the thing is that she doesn't work for the government. It's not a government job. It's a job she created.
Right.
It's a business.
Right.
She started on, so those
Let
are the kind of Americans.
About, okay, unless you're talking about DMV, or the VA,
right?
Yeah. Hey, there's a lot of our government agencies just don't produce anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just fire them. Get rid of them.
I will tell you. All right. Who was it? Who was that Texas governor who's running? And he goes, "There's three things I will want to eliminate." He could only remember two of them, but one of them he wanted to eliminate was the Department of Education.
Yeah,
the Constitution says that education is a responsibility of the state. Why do we have a government office? Why is our education system so broke? Evidenced by how low our students are performing compared to the rest of the world. Okay?
You've been to Washington, D.C., right?
Yeah,
I mean, you've seen the big sprawling buildings and stuff. I mean,
God, you can't
swing a dead cat without hitting a bureaucrat, man. I mean, they're just...
that's true. That's true. But the thing is,
it's just a waste of money.
We talked about the Department of Education. That is actually, that's not even the state. It's not a federal responsibility. The federal government controls education through funding. That is why we have SOLs, standards of learning.
Sure.
Right? And so it's like how you perform on your SOL test, your students performing the SOL test, depends on how much money we give you. So now we make you a slave to the federal government. We have subverted the government. Federal government has subverted the Constitution.
Sure.
Education is local and state responsibility.
Uh-huh.
Well, the thing is, if you go back to frontier times, all right, we talked about taxes.
Right.
Our taxes paid for the schools. It is your property tax. It's your property tax that pays for schools. You know why that's important? Okay, it's unfair. It's unfair. It's unfair. But it's important. Because if you live in a rich area, guess how much money is going into the public school? A lot.
If you live in a
poor area, guess how much money is going to the public school? Not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair. It's not fair. But it's based on if you make a lot of money and you live in a wealthy area, you want your kids to get a good education because you are paying for it. Now, the other thing is, you go back to frontier times, it is the people contributed the money. And they hired their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back then, it was classical education. There was no liberal education. But the thing was, there was something happened. There was a period of time that the schools taught what the parents wanted their kids to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying my taxes to send my kids to school so you can prepare them for college. Or a vocational education, but not to indoctrinate them.
Well, and that's what I'm
saying.
How
did that change? I can't tell you about that. I don't know how that happened.
Teacher unions
and stuff like that.
There should be no unions in a government entity. None. Zero. No unions needed in any government agency. I mean, look, what are we going to have a union in the military? Come on, man.
We actually do it. No, as a DA civilian, there is a union. Now, most of us never belong to it because the federal government is probably, I have to tell you, it's probably very fair. But there was a union, and any time we made that decision, they consulted the union. But everybody agreed. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'd go to these town halls, and they bring in the union, and I'm like, I didn't know I had a union. mistake.
There's a place that you can cut, because I know that there's money set aside for that. There are several places to cut, but I want to jump into another thing, because this is really good. This is
okay.
A hot button topic right here. Okay. So,
okay.
So I know. So look, here's the deal. I right now, I got liberal friends that are listening to this, cussing me out, sticking their middle finger up at the screen right now. And I've got, some text messages. You know what I mean? You know, what do you mean cut taxes? You know, who's going to pay for this? You know, well, get a fucking job, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right,
we got to do something else besides just taxing the people to death. And we got to fix it.
No, James, no. All right. If you want to talk about taxing, all right, look at Florida.
Why does Florida not have a state tax?
The problem is not taxing. It's what you're spending it on. You reduce the spending, you can reduce the taxing.
Well, that's what they don't.
Okay.
That's what the liberals don't want to do. They don't want to reduce the spending.
That's right. No. All right. Well, we're going to change the term. Not liberals, but socialists.
Marxist, what we now call
the Democratic Party, which is really a socialist party, is
wants
everybody to be dependent upon the government. In other words, we have to tax the rich to pay for the poor and to provide everybody what they want, not what they need. Okay.
Yeah. I've been to these meetings and heard these guys.
Right.
You know, at some of these big rallies, these Democrat rallies.
Right.
And they say, hey, we need socialism's a good thing. They'll roar and cheer and everything else, you know, about the thing. And it's like, they're just ignorant. And so here's another thing. Okay. So, a few weeks ago, before the Epstein, release of records came out, a Republican congressman, Tim Burchett, in Tennessee, he spoke to Hard Right podcaster Benny Johnson. And he said he spun a wild tale of blackmail and depravity in the U.S. Congress. And it's like, who do you think's bitching the most about what this guy's going to say? It's the liberal Democrats. And so what he did is he came out and he told the truth. I mean, I've been in D.C. I've seen this happen before. Hell, it's happened in the Army, you know. But he says... there's good conservatives, Democrats, and there's, all different types of people, and other members of Congress are being entrapped and then blackmailed to vote certain ways. Well, they said, you represent the state
that's
of Tennessee.
Politics.
Marsha Blackburn has been completely blackballed in the Senate for asking for the flight logs to be released or the client list.
Waiting for that to come out. Oh my God, I am waiting for that to come out.
It's out. Yeah, names are starting to come out.
No,
right?
we haven't heard from it yet. No, they have released it. But what we're missing is the people who have had time to go through it, and make sense of it, and connect the dots.
Wait till you hear this, okay?
Go ahead.
And he says. No, and it just says, hey, well, you're fighting with her, why the protection mechanism, and all of this stuff is needed. Well, this guy from Tennessee, he says, yeah, you've got powerful people, and they write the big checks, that Burchett replied, adding, well, let's just be honest and powerful people in this country. They write the big checks, and they expect something for it. And they're the ones out on the tarmac when the president comes and visits, and whichever party they're in, they always either out on the tarmac or in the private room. They're the ones that write these big checks. They don't care who it is. You know, they hate this country. They love themselves. They hate what we're about, but they love their portfolios and their money.
James,
no, I'm reading. Listen to me.
No,
listen to me.
Rich,
listen. I'm reading what this guy said. Let me finish what he just said.
You should have said that. You're reading what he said.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm reading
I thought
this,
that was
okay?
coming from you. All right. Go ahead.
No, I'm reading. And they don't care who it is.
Sorry.
He says,
sorry for the
interruption. That's all right. Yeah. Give me a minute because I know – People will get fired up like a firecracker.
No, 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 fuck it. I'm going to just come over and whip your ass, okay?
Well, anyway, and they protect it, and they protect the people that do it. The Russians do it. The Chinese do it. It's called the old honey pot, okay? So he says, and here it is. Says you're visiting, you're out of the country, you're out of town, or you're in a motel or in a bar in D.C., and whatever you're into, women, men, you know, whatever comes up, and they're very attractive, and they're laughing at your jokes, and you're buying them a drink, and the next thing you know, you're in the motel room with them naked. This is really happening, okay?
Hey, let me tell you about Yasser Arafat, the leader of the PLO. He was a famous flaming fag. Okay.
Well, okay, but Rich, hold on a second. Let me finish what this guy's saying, okay? So it's this whole thing. It says, and the next thing you know, you're about to make a key vote, okay? And what happens? Some well-dressed person comes out and whispers in your ear, hey, man, there's tapes out on you. Or were you in a hotel room or whatever with whoever?
Yeah,
and then you're like,
I'm not surprised, man.
Ought not be voting for this thing. This is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Now, he says, look, he says, I spent 16 years in the state legislature in Tennessee and 8 years as a county mayor, and now he's in Congress. He said, and everywhere I went, this was occurring. And these people, and that's why if you go to the state house, it's the first, you know how I know that the legislature's in town? Because when I go to the Capitol, I've never seen skirts so damn high in my life. I'm telling you, it would make a mini skirt, you know, look like a maxi skirt. And every night at the Marriott Hotel, you know, if you want to get something on one of those politicians, and we've had guys do this, okay, sit in there in the middle of the Marriott and just watch them at the end of the bar around 11:30, 12 o'clock when they get really drunk, they get really mouthy.
I think that's Godfather Part
but these are the people now. I know that's reality.
Come on. Here's the thing.
I'm gonna finish this up, and then I'm gonna go ahead.
There's more. There's 11.
It's 11:28. I've only been talking for six minutes. Okay.
So
he says, not all politicians are this way. He says you have some that are out there. They have grown extremely smart. They do not go out. They do not allow themselves to be put in those positions. And he says, while I don't agree with Mike Pence, the smartest thing he ever done was not be alone with a woman without his wife. And I think that, you know, that's pretty damn good advice for some of these politicians. So, do you think it's happening, number one? First question.
I know about the corruption. It's all about control. No. Why is everybody voting party line? Because it's about control. You know, it's control. I cited what I have heard is the party controls you by your vote. They control your vote by the position. You have to sell out. You have to promise. Mm-hmm. We put you on this position committee. You will raise this much money, and you will vote this way, okay? Saying is, if you're not going to vote, if we can't control you that way through the carrot, then we have the stick, and that is we're going to get some dirt on you, okay? Now let's look at the best example of that, the best example of that kind of corruption. How can someone like Bernie Sanders, who is never a career, someone who's never had a job in their life outside of government, become a billionaire with three mansions? How on a government salary do you become a billionaire with three mansions? Okay, now let's and this guy
insider
is a socialist,
trading man.
Right now, let's shift to Biden. The Biden family. Now, let's look at the Biden family and the Trump family. The Trump family made money through producing something, providing a product. And people are trying to sue them over this because, Trump bent the rules. He played the game. He played it. Guess what? He actually produced something. But what we are finding out with the Biden family is they're making the same kind of money with the same kind of corruption, and they don't produce shit.
We are getting a glimpse
of how corrupt the politics are, the sellout, the selling of influence.
Look, and let me just say this, okay? This last little bit, there's a last little thing here. Madison Cawthorn, y'all remember Madison Cawthorn? He was, the ex-representative from North Carolina, in a wheelchair, young guy, who came out and said, hey, I was invited to D.C. orgies and seen House members using cocaine. And, you know, they got rid of him, man. They got rid of him for talking about it. It wasn't long. You know, I mean, he didn't last long.
And they
all turned on him. But it's interesting with what you're saying about the corruption. And it's really not funny because it's different if it's just, oh, well, we want you to vote for this bill to whatever. But some of this stuff that they're voting for and not voting for because there's compromising videos and pictures of them doing things that they shouldn't have been doing are things that affect the national security of this country. And that's freaking treason. That is treason. No doubt about it. And they really should be charged with such, in my opinion. So,
All right. James. Okay. Jim Baird.
Mm-hmm.
Mutual friend of ours. Lost his arm in an ambush in Vietnam. Is a congressman, okay?
Indiana congressman, yes.
That's right. Why do you think he ran for Congress?
I think he ran for Congress because he wanted to do something to make the country better. I think there was an honorable intention.
No, it's honorable, but it wasn't about making the country better. What was his focus? What was his personal agenda? Do you even know what his nickname was in Vietnam? Lieutenant Baird's nickname was?
No. I probably heard it before.
All right. I usually say it was pig farmer, but it was really pig fucker. Why? Because he was in the farming industry and he did his research and stuff on the breeding of swine. This guy's passion is farming.
I remember you saying that.
That's right. Why do you think he ran for politics? To get rich? He was a very successful farmer. No, because he really wanted influence. These areas. Now, one thing I can tell you, the committees dealing with agriculture and farming are probably not the most prestigious ones, okay? So he probably never had to sell out. I believe that. He probably never had to sell out. Right. He ran for office to affect the things that affected. Okay, Clint Eastwood. Got involved in politics. He became the mayor of Carmel, California. You know why? You know why he became a mayor?
Why is that?
Do you ever see Clint Eastwood endorsing any politician? He's reclusive.
I don't see him. Yeah. All
right.
He's
you
want to
know why he ran
for
politics? Because he owned a business. He owned the Hog's Breath. I lived in Monterey. Hog's Breath was one of my favorite hangouts in Carmel. He owned, it was a restaurant. It was an outdoor restaurant. It never gets damn cold, okay? So you got these little, fire pits and stuff like that. You can sit around and order drinks. Man, it was great. But he got upset because he owned a business, and now here's a guy, he owns a business, and he encounters the bullshit with politics. He said, he realized what it is. He said, I got to fix this. That's why Clint Eastwood ran for mayor.
Uh-huh.
Get it straight. That the government should support the small businesses. That's what Clint uh-huh. Eastwood did as mayor of Carmel.
Well, you know, and I don't disagree.
And I just want to say that because what I believe is Jim Baird ran for state politics, representative, and then went for federal, the U.S. Congress.
He's still there today.
That's right. Not because I don't believe he sold out.
And he's a Republican.
All right. Of course he is. He's a real conservative, okay? Right. But the thing was,
Indiana farmer, yes. Mm-hmm.
He's just a farmer wanting to take care of other farmers, okay? That's what he was. That's all he was interested in. Yeah. You'll never see him in the news. You'll never, because he's never going to be up there spouting it. Look, the more outrageous you are, like, okay, AOC.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, my God, AOC, like a junior congressman. Why does she get so much attention? Because she's so stupid. And she does such outrageous, stupid things. She draws media attention.
There's no doubt about that.
Jim Baird will never draw that attention because he's got a damn degree in the field that he's focusing on, okay? Really. He got his college degree in breeding swines, okay? And the men made fun of it because that's all he talked about during the Vietnam War. That's all he mm-hmm. talked about. The men made fun of it, but they loved him because he's a good leader, damn good leader, okay?
Yeah. Well, and you know, you'd like to see, you know, see him be successful. I've reached out to him a couple of times, you know what I mean, and I've got, you know, limited response. And I have found that with these guys, you know, once they get in, they're busy or whatever.
Busy, yeah, they're real busy. They're real busy. Louis Vassat, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Louis Vassat appreciated history and his role in it because he was very successful. The first time I met Louis Vassat was after his first tour in Iraq, he brought two of his primary staff officers to Fort Eustis to meet with people. But he came over to me and said, Rich, you're the one I really want to meet. I want you, because he knew what I was doing, because I was recording the history of the war. And he said, I want you to record what we did. And so I interviewed him and the other guys. Okay. And I'd already heard of Louis Vassat. Okay. He was a reservist who the Army came up with a program where an outstanding reserve lieutenant colonel will command an active duty, a regular Army battalion, and an RA officer will command a reserve battalion. Okay. Louis Vassat was the first to command a active duty TC battalion. Okay, he was a rising star. The thing was, it's like I would bump into this guy. As you know, I deployed a lot. But I remember he now is a BG. He's a BG, and I found out he's in Kuwait. So I get there, and I walk up. And the sponsor for me in Kuwait is in the same damn room as him, building as him. So I walked by his office, and the secretary's like, oh, you can't see him. I said, no, I'm just going to stand here in the door and wave at him, because they knew exactly what would happen. I just stand there, and he's sitting there, and he's finishing his work. He looks up, and he's going to come over and say hi to me, shake my hand, and we're going to get 5 minutes. That's it. He will always, no matter where we are, how important he is, how busy is it, he would always stop what he was doing or finish what he's doing and come over and give me 5 minutes of his time. Just talk. And the last time I ran into him was Haiti. I got sent down to Haiti during the earthquake relief. And damned if he wasn't, he was still BG. He was down there. And I'm standing outside the tent like, holy shit, Louis Vassad's here. And of course he gets up and we're graduating. The thing I regret is, my God, I hated Haiti so much. After I was embedded with the 30SC and his unit, went down there first, got replaced by the 30SC and coming down, and he knew how important historical coverage was. They had no historian to cover down on them, and I could not wait to get home. And I'm not going to spend another month here. Oh, Haiti. I hated Haiti so much. I felt sorry for him. You know, like, I'm going out with the headquarters I came in with. I'm sorry. And I tried to coach his S1.
Yeah.
It was worthless. There's reserves. There's some people just don't know what they're doing.
Well, I know. I know one here.
But the thing is, though, I just tell that story is there's some mm-hmm. people like, yes, once you get really, really busy,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to keep up with
so
who your real friends are. Yes.
So with all of that, so I went into this, number one. So we talked about two very important topics. We talked about taxes, okay? We talked about the need to reduce government. We talked about, we did mention the news, and then we got into this blackmailing of our, you know, of our legislators. And, you know, it really is clear. I've always suspected it, and I knew that it happened here in West Virginia and in D.C. because we've seen it happen. But I did not think that it was as widespread, but until now, when you look at it and you see, you know, conservatives voting for, bills that just don't make any sense. And it's so outside of conservative narrative, and they vote. Well, I get
all
it
right,
now.
Right,
now,
right, right. James,
I have to be suspect.
All right, all right. That is a vague.
Well,
right, because, right, I'm conservative in some areas and liberal in others. So when you make a statement like that, a vague, when I say vague, it's not very specific. You're not.
Well, let me give you an example.
Specific example.
Let me give you a specific example.
Good.
Governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, conservative.
Right.
Vetoed a bill that would have prevented transgender males from using female locker rooms, and that would have prevented transgender, biological males from participating in girls' athletics. A conservative did that, and would have also prevented a child under the age of 18 to undergo sex change or any body modification surgery that was not a medical necessity. Why would he do that? Why would he ban that?
Well, that's the question I'm going to ask you. Why would he do it? Did he cite a reason for it? Here's the issue.
Yes.
Here's what I'm going to say. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So the opposition is always going to cite how, let's pick one of the bills that Biden touts as his accomplishments. Okay, so
anything LGBTQ? I mean,
here's the issue. All right, so can't remember the one, and it had to do with. Let's talk about your internet connectivity in West Virginia sucks. You guys have the worst, right? Why?
Yeah,
tell me. Why?
It's really the terrain. It's the mountains, and we don't have enough.
But see, here in Virginia, we've got all these stations, and even me in my house, we got disconnected. But the thing is, you do not have the same services that we have in Virginia.
That's correct.
All right, because we are a larger population.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where I live,
we're 1.8 million.
The Tidewater area of Virginia, has this just about the same population density as any metropolitan area. New York, Boston, Chicago, whatever. Okay. So we're going to have all these stations and stuff like that. You in West Virginia?
Yeah,
you're hillbilly.
Why would
you don't have that. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So they signed the bill, passed by the Democrats, to now invest in increasing the amount of service internet service connectability. All right? Why would a Republican vote against?
I think we lost you, Rich. You must have turned your head the different direction. So I guess while we're waiting on Rich to come on, what we were saying about Governor Mike DeWine in Ohio, originally supported this bill, and then once the bill was passed,
James, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. There you are. There you go.
All right. So here I am talking about internet connectivity, and I just lost it, and I'm on the peninsula where we have good connectivity. Right.
But in West Virginia, I'm still talking about it.
Why would a conservative representative in West Virginia vote against this bill to increase internet connectivity in West Virginia? Why would he vote against it? Because if the opposition will say, you voted against this bill.
Sure, yeah.
Why would he vote against the bill? That was passed by a majority, a Democrat majority. Why would he vote against it?
Because it was passed by a Democrat majority. That's why.
No. That's not it. That's not it. If it benefits West Virginia, why would he vote against it?
I have no idea, you know.
The clauses.
Yeah. Well, there was
no clauses. You only get this service if you do this or that.
Yeah. We've only got 11
right.
minutes.
Well, for one of them, because I know specifically for the internet, the increase in internet connectivity, you only get this money to increase that if you allow a certain number of immigrants to come into your county.
Yeah, no,
West
I get that.
Listen to me. West Virginia does not have the fucking jobs.
Up,
all right, West Virginia, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
All right. West Virginia. What I know about West Virginia does not have the...
But we have jobs, but I don't know about fucking jobs.
People that live there, let alone illegal immigrants.
We definitely don't have the room for them, but we do have
room
for Americans.
So you're asking your representative to say, hey, we're going to increase your internet connectivity if you allow a lot of illegal immigrants.
I was talking about
hey, I can't find jobs for the people in my county. You're wanting me to invite other people in here. It doesn't work.
I would never support that. Now,
that's the point. The point. For the listening audience, when you hear the side says he voted against this bill that it's going to benefit him.
No, Rich, we're talking
about the clauses. It's the clauses they add to it. You don't get
no
this money unless you do this.
We're talking about a state bill in Ohio where Governor Mike DeWine basically
talking federal.
We've only got 10 minutes. So what Governor DeWine did was, as he originally said, I support the bill that would prevent biological males from going into the bathroom with females and from participating in girl sports. I mean, really, women fought a hard fight to get their own sports and to get their own things. I think it's a damn shame that men are now participating in that. I really do. I think that's a disgrace.
Wrong.
It's wrong.
I just love this. This is the the bad kill Blaine side of me. I just want all our people out there listening that men are better than women at everything. At everything. Sports and I forgot what was it, Newsweek?
Now let me finish because we've only got 9 minutes.
Yeah,
we only
women of the year. Men are better as women of the year than women
shit,
are.
That's
okay?
Terrible. I know you're being facetious right now, but the deal is so here's a governor that is a conservative, not a very good conservative, but he's still a conservative, and he says I support this, you know, and then when the bill comes out, he comes out. Number one, he's a little shaky when he's talking. So people are a little bit like, what's going on here? He says, I've decided, to veto this bill because I think that parents should decide what's best for their children. Okay, that's fine. If you want little Johnny to become little Jenny, okay, that's fine. But what about little Johnny that wants to go in the bathroom with your neighbor's little Jenny or compete on a sports team that is designed only for women or for girls? You know, what about all of the other parents out there, which really make up about 98% or better of the population? Really, honestly, this whole transgender thing, it's really just drove a wedge. And it really represents
James, we're not even talking
population.
About furries. No, we're not even getting into furries. Furries.
Oh, I don't.
You know what a furry is?
We've had that battle here too. Yeah, it's
okay. All right. Yeah, if you want to talk about a mental disorder, or hallucination,
so,
talk about furries. Go ahead.
So here's what I will say. So the correct term.
What do you want
to
conclude with?
We got 7 minutes. The correct term, really, that we should be using is a term called gender dysphoria, which is a psychological term that explains all this.
Okay.
And what we have done is we have allowed a mental illness to become a protected class of citizens, and we should protect
mentally
handicapped
people. Stop.
We got 6 minutes, Rich. I know.
I'm going to say this real quick. Okay. You just made a claim that gender identification is a mental illness. What is your proof?
It's called gender dysphoria. It's a psychological term.
What is your proof? I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm going to say if you make a claim like that, what is your proof on that?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Is there medical proof for that?
Yes.
There is. But I'm asking you, if you're going to make a claim like that, what's your proof?
Well, if you would let me finish, I would have got it out. Gender dysphoria. Look it up, folks.
Right.
Gender dysphoria really explains what's going on with this transgender community. And I had a very good friend, was Navy SEAL Team 6, decided to, you know, to be a transgender person, but then got into it and said, you know what, really, I'm suffering from gender dysphoria and post-traumatic stress. I'm not really somebody that wants to change my sex. But he had such a pushing and money and everything was coming
out to support him.
Then he finally came out and he says, look, this is all crap, and no wonder the kids are going crazy because kids
are
more easily influenced. So
actually, there's a guy who wrote a book on this, and it was banned. It can't even sell it on Amazon.com. Why?
Because
the LGBTQ community came out against it. And one of the statistics he pointed out is among that community, the transgender community, they have a 40% suicide rate, which is higher than the national average. These are facts. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I challenge you, it's not that I disagree with you. I said,
there
are facts to support this.
Yes, you're exactly right. And so we're at 4 minutes and 53 seconds. How about some parting comments, Rich, before we close it out?
My God. I don't know.
No, wait a minute. Not Rich Kilblaine, a loss for words. Come on now, man.
No.
You can't let me down, buddy.
Ask me a question, not ask me for final comments.
I
mean, seriously, you're sitting there like my focus right now is
Final comments on gender dysphoria. Gender dysphoria.
No, I'm not even thinking about that. I already stated my comment on that. It's not even. Look, we spent like almost 2 hours talking about this stuff, or an hour and a half. You asked me my final comments. I want to talk about something positive. No. Okay, here's what I'm going to leave you. All politics is local. So as you sat there, I really don't even like, if you've followed me on this show, you'll hear me say, yeah, I'll turn on CNN and TV maybe for 5 minutes, whatever, see what everybody's talking about, but I get my news from the internet. I don't even turn on the TV anymore. I don't even want to hear what they're talking about, okay? I go to the internet to find my. The thing is, all politics is local. I mean, when I look at what's going on in Chicago, New York, California, and stuff, like, I'm really disheartened. But I live in Williamsburg, Virginia. All right. Yeah. The thing is, we got 50 states, and I'm glad that the socialist cities. America is a great experiment. It's a great experiment. Chicago, yes. Do what you want to do and fail. And yes, when you start begging the federal, that's the other thing. Chicago is begging the federal government for money to fund their failure, because they're saying, no, it's not a failure. We can't admit it's a failure. We just need more money. The Democratic Party is a socialist organization, thinks that throwing money is the solution. Okay? But around the nation where I live, everything's normal. Everything's normal. Okay? What I watch on the news in the big cities run by the Democratic Party, it's disheartening, and it leads you to think that this is the nation. It's not.
Sure.
We got 50 states, and we've got, you know, hundreds of major cities. Each one of them is experimenting. Let's learn from it. Let's look at – now, the news is not going to tell you about the successes. I live in Williamsburg. Yep. This is a success. This is a success. We do not have any of the problems the rest of these cities deal with.
Sure.
Okay? We're doing it right.
We're going to have to close it up here, Rich. We're down to the last minute and a half. Got to do a couple of shout-outs here, folks. Number one, thank you for joining us with Continue Mission. We are always happy to have all of our listeners and love to see that screen light up. And, you know, you're always welcome to stick your hand up. We'll bring you on. I want to give a shout-out to my good friend Tom Roten at the TomRotenShow.com. And that's TomRotenShow.com. That's the TomRotenShow.com. Tom Roten's a good friend. I've known him for about 20 years. He is a radio host and has one heck of a good conservative radio talk show and does some great things. The other organization I want to do a shout out to is the Oil and Gas Workers of America, and that's OGWAUSA.com. That's OGWAUSA.com. And our good friends at Vets for Coal, well, that is VETS, the number 4, Coal, COAL.com. These two organizations are fighting for American energy security and for the American workers. They are not swamp monsters, folks. They are not politically corrupt people. Remember, everybody, be good to each other. Love your neighbors. You love yourself, even the liberal ones, and pray for each other. Thank you very much for joining us on Continue Mission, and we will catch you next Friday at the same time. God bless and good night. Perfect ending, everybody. Good night, Rich.